Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Well, hello there, everybody. Good morning to you. Happy Tuesday morning. Happy start of the Shocker basketball season. Happy NFL trade deadline. Happy voting day. It is election day. Of sorts here around the world. Makes you feel proud to be an American. All these things make us proud to be American. College basketball, NFL trade deadline. Come on now. Good morning, everybody. Jacob Albrock here alongside TJ Cleland. We are glad to be here with you this morning. We will have Wyatt Thompson in to talk a little K-State hoops as we get the start of the Wildcats season. Also, look back at that Texas Tech loss and get into some of the things as we take an overview of this season for the Cats on the football field and what it all means. We'll do all that in our next segment, actually. We will talk a lot of college hoops today. Shocker fans, what are you thinking about? Chiefs fans, do the Chiefs need to make a move at the NFL deadline? We get a piece of very good news with the return of Josh Simmons to the team yesterday. So we'll discuss it all. It's all brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, now featuring a hot link sandwich, split seared, served in a split top bun with chips and a drink for only $9. Perfect for lunch. Hot link sandwich, now available at Wichita Brewing Company. Pizza and beer made here. TJ, good morning. How are you?
Hello. I'm glad you did not lead the show off with some Monday Night Football talk because I couldn't watch it. Thanks, YouTube TV. I feel like I want to bang my head off the wall whenever there's games on and I can't see them.
When I had to go to a local watering hole to catch it. I did as a Cowboys fan, and it was not worth my time. But, you know, whatever. We almost, my goodness, did we almost have our Jake Ferguson hit last night. He had two opportunities inside the five to take one in last night on that first drive. Couldn't get either one of them in. I can't feel bad about that. Like, it was there. It was right there. They went to him twice, and he couldn't get it in. So I sorry if anybody tailed there, but I think we were on the right track. It just didn't deliver it. But we'll get back at it Thursday night. We also had KU start the basketball season last night for us on the men's side. Big winners over Wisconsin Green Bay, 94-51. We also had the Shocker women getting things going last night. They were big winners. The K-State women last night were big winners. So a good start to the season. We'll talk about the Jayhawks and the debut of Darren Peterson and a career night for Flory Badunga as we make our way through as well today. We got a lot to get to here. Max Powers got your KFH hotline at 869-1240. So that's available for you. You can leave us video comments via Facebook, YouTube, X. You can leave us voice messages if you're listening to us on the Odyssey app. Thanks as well to those watching us on 12 News Connected this morning. It is a lot to get to. TJ, I think let's rip through some of it, and we'll talk Wildcats next. But the big news from Monday, you know, before games were played, was that Josh Simmons is back. Mm-hmm. And I think this is kind of what a lot of people had been hoping, is this two-week stretch with the bye, that he could be back after the bye. And not only is that the case, he's back in time to get plenty of work in and should be, by all accounts, ready to roll for that game against Denver, which becomes pretty important here in week 10.
That was the one that I had circled as well. You know, it felt like had it been three games or four games, I can't remember the exact number, but we kind of knew that it was going to be a couple of weeks once we started to hear word of, you know, I know that Nate Taylor reported that about 2 weeks ago now or something like that. And so you had the bye circled, that it would be something around there. I didn't know if it was going to be this week or the next week, but I agree. The fact that he's back this week, you know, is going to give him that. That was always the question, is he just going to show up on a Sunday and can he play? Like, if he shows up on a Friday, can he play on a Sunday? And now you don't have that question anymore going into that Broncos game.
Yeah, he's going to play. They haven't said that, but I cannot imagine that he doesn't play. So we'll look for that. We'll be ready for it, and it'll be a big help. And honestly, it does. Like, as we get to the trade deadline today, it probably does lessen the need to do anything there. Now, just that certainty, right? Because the thing, and I said this on TV yesterday, one of the things, of course, he's been great on the field, but he also gives them their depth back, which will be very nice, as Jawan Taylor's been shaken up a little bit and Trey Smith is playing with a bad back and all of these things. Like, having, you know, one more guy out there who happens to have, at least through his first four or five games, been outstanding. After we watch that game, like, that's going to be the Chiefs' problem this year. If they can't protect, just like last year, it's going to be a problem. So that's great news for them. We can dig into whether or not they need to go do anything else. We talked a lot about the running back position yesterday and kind of brought up some names there. Of course, Breece Hall's name's brought up a lot. We'll see if he moves in general today. But it should be a pretty entertaining trade deadline. A lot of moves have been made, kind of smaller moves. But, you know, we'll see. It's pretty hilarious that I woke up to an alert that the Cowboys have traded for a defender from Cincinnati. As Jerry Jones yesterday teases this highly impactful trade they're going to make. And I see I wake up and I'm like, oh, good, a linebacker from the Bengals. That's a good idea. They've been awesome this year. I know that's too simple, but it is just pretty funny on a night that they get their butts kicked. And then the other thing real quick, TJ, and we'll spend more time with this as well in just a little bit. KU, 94-51 winners. They covered the 30.5 last night against Green Bay. It was exactly what we hope to see a lot of this year. Badunga and Peterson combined for 44 points. Badunga had 6 rebounds. He was really good in the game. Had 3 blocks to go with it. Like, that's what we're going to want to see from him. And Darren Peterson was very efficient, I thought. 7 of 11 shooting. The 4 misses were all on threes. So he was perfect inside the arc and then missed and went 3 of 7 from 3, which is great, you know, just under 50%. So great debuts against a team that's not very good. But when you're talking about young players like that, that's what you need to see.
I can't wait for Friday, I think, is North Carolina. Like, that's going to be awesome to see Darren Peterson against the Tar Heels and just see what it's all about. So, you know, that was kind of what we saw in that game against Louisville. I know he scored 24 points in the first half and, you know, scored 21 and 22 minutes last night. And so there's going to be a game in Big 12 play where they're in a grinded out spot against Iowa State, and Darren Peterson is going to go for 40. Like, that's the kind of score that he is. Doug Gottlieb, coach of the Phoenix last night, tweeted out that he's the closest player he's ever seen to Kobe Bryant, and that's after one real game.
And Kobe didn't even play college basketball in a traditional sense. So that's interesting. Yeah. Look, it's good, but he's a freshman. And I think we'll get to this. The biggest storyline for them that just has not been talked about, and it was the biggest storyline at the end of last year, is the return of Flory Badunga. Like, Flory Badunga's got a chance to be a high NBA guy too. He came in with a little less accolade, but we saw the flashes from him last year. Now, if he can, and again, it's against Green Bay, so yeah, North Carolina will tell us a lot, but if he can get those kinds of offensive opportunities, that's going to open things up for Peterson. And that's, you know, now it's like, okay, if we see that, what are the roles everybody else is going to play? It does simplify things, I think, a little bit to if that can be the way this team goes. One game, we have no idea, but it was a nice way to see them get started. All right, when we come back, Wyatt Thompson, we've got some new contests we want to tell you about. First, a chance to unwrap the ultimate gift of the season. You could win a trip to Seattle to see Unwrapped, an acoustic holiday featuring an all-star lineup, one-of-a-kind stripped-down magic, Brent Smith and Zach Myers of Shinedown, The Pretty Reckless, Daughtry, Hollywood Undead, Mammoth Sleep Theory, Des Rocks, Return to Dust, Not Your Average Silent Night, Cozy Up, Rock Out. All you have to do, this is courtesy of BMG Records, enter the national contest. Go to kfhradio.com. Two airfares, two-night hotel stay, and a pair of tickets. Again, kfhradio.com. We're coming back. Wyatt Thompson joins us next.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer. First 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
The commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
All right, welcome in, everybody. Wyatt Thompson, welcome in. Voice of the K-State Wildcats. Good morning, Wyatt. How are you?
I'm pretty darn good. How are you, fellas?
Good. Joined here, Jake Albrecht, TJ Cleland with you. Let's start with basketball. We can get to football and the bummer that was the game against Texas Tech later. Let's start with hoops. It is the season. Tis the season. Happy basketball season to all those who celebrate. Tonight, the Cats get it going against UNC Greensboro. How excited is Wyatt Thompson for the start of college hoops this year?
I'm always pumped up for it, to be honest with you. I know through the first two exhibition games we've seen, I'll describe it as pretty darn good offense, maybe even to the point of a little bit disturbing on the defensive side, but they've worked more on the offense, and we'll see how it plays tonight. But they've got this one tonight and then right back at it here on Saturday. I think it's a four-game homestand to start. I do think it's going to be a fun team to watch from an offensive standpoint. Just, I mean, P.J. Haggerty alone, but Abdi Bashir had a pretty decent game the other night, and I think Nate Johnson is pretty capable, and want to see those two foreign kids get going, or three or four foreign kids, actually. I thought Moby's all right, so it's time to go. Don't know if you saw the opening games last night, but, boy, I'm excited for the league. If you watched Arizona and Coapete last night, strap in. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be a bunch of fun. Wyatt, just kind of wondering about this team. You brought up the first question I was going to ask you. You know, they've played two exhibitions, and they've given up a whole bunch of points in both. Even to the Mike Newman Jets came in there and knocked them down from three. Is that what it's going to be like this year? Is that what we think we're going to see every game? Or are they going to have to try to score 100 every game?
Well, I don't think it's going to be as rough as it has been. You know, it's one thing at Mizzou because they had so many guys back and you have so many new faces. Not trying to make excuses, but I think there's going to be and needs to be some growth here. But I think that it's both sides of the coin, actually. I think it's disturbing when Newman, no disrespect at all, I thought they played well. They made a boatload of shots. Think about this. They made 18 threes.
Yeah.
18.
They didn't do that when crazy. I was in college very often.
But at the end of the day, it's too many. But I think this team could be better defensively. I think they do have in Nate Johnson, a guy who really could be a good defender, you know, on-ball defender, one of the better guys in the league that way. But they've got some things to work out. And they'll tell you they've worked more on installing Coach Driscoll's offense than they have on defense to this point, and it shows. So this team with UNC Greensboro, I guess what I would tell you is they're going to defend. So their numbers from a year ago, a 20-win team, were pretty good at their level and in their league. But I think K-State will come out with some purpose and try to guard tonight. We'll see how that plays.
Wyatt, when we look at an expectation for this year, you mentioned Arizona. We saw KU also look awesome, and Darren Peterson, yeah. live up to the hype, I think, at least so far from what we've seen. We know the Big 12 is going to be wild and crazy and difficult. It would be silly to, at this point, say, oh, K-State needs to compete for a Big 12 title. Not saying it can't happen, but how should we walk into this with expectations, do you think, this year?
Well, you know, I've said this before. I think you have to try to look at this as that the goal is to be an NCAA tournament team, which in this particular case could mean somewhere probably in that 8-9 range, 7-8-9. And I think that is, I think they're capable of that. Are they capable of it today? Honestly, maybe not. But I do think they've improved in some areas enough that, again, you got to go prove it. But I think they've shown that they have some things that they probably lacked a year ago. The one thing that is concerning up and above and beyond the defense is the rebounding. They've got to get, you know, they need to be better there. I think that's probably something that we'll talk about all season long. So, you know, those are two big things, as we know, in the game of basketball. But I do think with the prowess that they have, or at least in terms of ability to score, maybe it'll be maybe that'll take up some of the slack. Let's put it that way.
Wyatt, speaking of this roster, we've talked a lot about PJ Haggerty, and if you're somebody who, you know, unless you're a college basketball sicko, I'll put it that way, you've never seen these guys play before, except, you know, the returners and probably PJ Haggerty. Who's the rest of the options on this team? Who do you think is going to, you know, pick up the rest of that slack after PJ Haggerty scores his, you know, 20, 25, et cetera?
Well, I think it has to be Nate Johnson, Abdi Bashir. I think you could probably go down even a little bit farther than that. I know he's a really young kid, but let me grab my chart here and just tell you that Andre Kostic can shoot the ball. Okay. I think Elias Rypiec is a guy who can also help. Is he going to be a 15-10 guy? No, probably not. But those guys have played international basketball. They have some skill. They're still kind of getting their feet wet, learning, you know, the American way of life, if you will, and the K-State way of basketball. So I that's why I say that they're not anywhere near where they need to be, but I think you should expect that. I'm really excited about Moby also and David Castillo. David was pretty good the other night. When he scores some, he does so many other things pretty well that it helps. So I don't think it's a situation where they don't have enough skill. I think it's just all putting this together.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk football, Wyatt. Texas Tech. Look, the game, I'll be perfectly honest, it was tighter longer than I feared it might be.
Yeah.
Texas Tech's defense showed how real they are. But there were good things that happened too. I thought the game plan was actually pretty good. Like Joe Jackson, they were never going to line up and traditionally run it on Tech. And Avery running it was the biggest piece of the offense. So, you know, I think the plan was good. I just don't think K-State's there with Texas Tech talent-wise this year. So what do we take away from it? Because the record's not very good right now. And, you know, like this was a season with big expectations.
I think you put the game right in its proper perspective. I would add to that, I thought for the first quarter and a half plus, K-State played right with them, or probably maybe even played a little bit better. Good teams, though, adjust. And they have a good coach. They have two really good coordinators and boatloads of talent. I thought Avery was good. I thought the plan was good. But let's put that into the proper perspective, too. Good can mean different things on different Saturdays. They really pressured Avery. And I mean, he was 16 of 33 and against most everybody else. He's going to be better than that, but there was just enough pressure to move him left or right or get him out onto the run. You point to the five turnovers and give Tech some credit for that. But I've said this in a few other interviews, K-State wanted to run the ball, at least try to get some angles to make it a threat. I think they did that, but the turnovers hurt. And the reality of it is, this is just my opinion only. If you go back and look at first down, Tech and their opportunities had about 175 yards. And on first down, K-State with their opportunities had a little bit less than 70. that's a monster difference. And too many times they were second and third and long, and that catches up with you. And the intense pressure that they bring most of the time with the 3 and 4 man front is really difficult. Those two ends are elite. I'm just going to tell you, they're both pros. They're elite. I think Lee Hunter's a pro. They're playing without Gil Howard, but you can't hardly tell it with Holmes in there. And then I don't know, guys. I'm not. This isn't a love fest with Texas Tech, but tell me you don't like watching Jacob Rodriguez play.
He's my favorite defensive player in a long time.
He is insane, just with the intensity. Two forced fumbles and just to the intensity in which he goes about it. He's a brutal tackler. Loves contact. If you like the game and you don't enjoy watching him play, go reevaluate yourself, because he's a dude now. He can play.
Why, that's exactly what I was going to say. You know, watching this game, I've sparingly watched some Texas Tech, you know, on in the background and everything like that, and I knew that they turned people over. But watching that game, it was like, I'm going to pull my hair out. Like, what is going on out there? And it's literally him. And they punch the football out so well. And I imagine that every fan base feels like that whenever you play Texas Tech.
Yeah, and you know what? I've said this too, and I'll say it to you guys. If you would have told me that, and I think K-State should have led at half as opposed to being down 12-7, and I'm sure you guys agree with that. But had K-State made the two-point conversion and make that a one-score game, I'd go back and do that the rest of the game from there again. I thought when they didn't make the two-point conversion, it had a little bit of an effect on them mentally from like, oh boy, mm-hmm. Now we've got to score twice against these guys, right? And against those guys, that's it's not impossible, but it's difficult. It's hard. Again, this hasn't been the season everybody wanted, and I 100% am with them on that. But you got to come back, and I think Coach really likes these guys, and I think they'll continue to battle. We've had injury things. We've been an inconsistent football team for sure, but let's keep grinding and see what happens at the end of the day.
So as we look at this season, Wyatt, there's been a lot of people wondering, like, they didn't live up to the hype for sure. And you might even say last year they fell a little bit short too, but the reality is it's been 28 wins 3 years coming into this year. It's been a disappointment. Is there any reason for fans not to be confident in the overall trajectory still of the program and what's happening in Manhattan for K-State football?
Well, I'm by nature somebody that looks more at the positive side. And I do get to see this team quite a bit. And I do think they've got some really good football players. And I think as you look at their young kids that are making their way, that and many of them have not had an impact on this season, whether it's by coach's choice, their choice to redshirt, injury, what have you. I think they've got some good players coming. They continue to recruit at a decent level. They got a commitment from a defensive tackle yesterday, and as an example that was offered by Florida and Georgia, we're told. That's a good thing. I don't care how you analyze that. That's good. If Georgia's recruiting you, you can play.
Right.
I think about Logan Bartley as an example, and Darian Whitaker on the defensive side. Both are freshmen and have a chance to be special. Just as an example, do they need to get better in some areas and a little more depth? Yeah. And you hope that they can take care of that twofold, transfer portal and obviously with recruiting and player development. And that's, I think that recruiting and player development kind of wraps into one there. But I'm always going to be pretty optimistic, because I think Coach Klieman is relatively consistent at what he does, or definitely consistent in what he does. Not everybody sees it the same way. I understand that this has been an up and down year and frustrating, but I just don't know necessarily that I'm thinking that this is a team that is heading downward. I do not see it that way. I just don't.
All right, we gotta mute there, TJ. Go ahead, TJ. Yeah, we lost TJ's microphone, Wyatt. So
okay.
When we talk about that stuff, You know, the recruiting part, I think, matters, but it is. It's hard today to have, look at what's going on in LSU.
I'm not hearing you now either, Jacob.
We may have a bit of an issue here in general. Let's, I think our radio people can hear, so I'm not sure what's...
I apologize, guys. I'm not hearing you.
TJ, try again there. Nope. We're having a connection issue. I'm not sure what's going on with that, Wyatt. Wyatt, I don't know what to say. We've never had this problem before. Can you hear me now?
I'm still not hearing you. I'm not sure why, but I lost you.
Well, let's get to a break early here, Wyatt. We're gonna disconnect here and try and fix our problem. We appreciate everything, and we'll talk again next week.
Sorry about that, fellas. We'll talk soon. Appreciate you.
TJ, microphone check. We're
microphone
there.
Check.
We go. We're back, baby. We're back. Perfect timing. We're going to tell you about another contest, the Odyssey Holiday Hookup. Now through Friday, November 21st, at 11:30 p.m. Odyssey, taking care of the food and fun this Thanksgiving. You can win a full holiday feast and Thunder tickets for the whole family. Smoked turkey, ham, all the sides from Hog Wild Pit Barbecue, which is valued at more than $200. 10 tickets to the Wichita Thunder's Star Wars night on November 29th, and you can enter by texting the word thanks to the key number 20357. That's thanks to the number 20357. Message and data rates apply. All right, we come back in now to Sports Daily. TJ, we had to cut the conversation there with Wyatt too soon, but you know, I think the gist is the same kind of as like, it's things are not to be, it's not panic time for K-State. It's a disappointing season. There's no doubt about it, but most teams in the Big 12 right now feel like it's a disappointing season. This is a league that consistently beats up on itself, which is a good thing overall, but it's going to make it hard. And there's not a lot of wiggle room to play poorly over stretches like K-State did at the beginning of the year. Quite frankly, losing to Texas Tech is not anything to be ashamed of, I don't think, this year. But some of the other losses are, and it's been a bad year in that regard. And now they've got to, you know, finish strong, turn it around, get to a bowl, and hopefully carry that momentum into next season when they ought to be a contender like they should have been this year.
Yeah, the biggest questions about this season now come after this season of what can you do to get all these guys back? Because as we've talked about yesterday, there's a lot of guys that aren't seniors on this team. You can bring a lot of players back, all your skill guys. You know, you have the opportunity to bring Avery back. You have the opportunity to bring Dylan Edwards back, Jace Brown back, Lincoln Cure back. A lot of guys on that defense can come back. So if you could, I mean, I bet if you polled 100 K-State fans and asked if you could just have this exact roster again and try over, they'd probably say yes. Like, a lot of them would probably say yes and you know, make as little upgrades as you need to. But on paper, this was supposed to be the most talented team that K-State's had in a couple of years, and I still think it probably is. Like, this team is full of talent. They've just had flaws, whether that be, you know, I think a lot of it is confidence based. A lot of it was kind of once you lose to Army, then things kind of derail a little bit and you start thinking too much. And I think that's part of it. But as I said, biggest thing you can do for this team right now is keep this team together in the offseason. It's going to be tough, you know, kind of trying to convince 19 to, you know, 21 year olds to come back after a disappointing season is a hard task to do, because in this landscape of college football, all those top guys might have, you know, people like Kirby Smart on the phone.
And they will. And they for sure will. So what are you going to do? You're going to keep recruiting your own guys. You're going to go hit the portal hard, and you're going to do all the things that you've always been doing as the program, at least for the last, I don't know, how long have we been doing this now? 5 years, where half the time is recruiting what you already have. So you just got to keep going. You just got to keep
K-State,
going.
That's what K-State has done so well of doing all of that the past few years. You know, it's not like, no disrespect, but it's not K-State basketball where you have to rebuild your roster every year. You know, Wichita State can't keep their guys that are studs here because they go chase the SEC stuff. And, you know, no fault to them. I probably would too if I was a 19-year-old. K-State's done really good, though, at not saying the grass is greener from the other players that we're going to bring in. They understand how big of a deal it is to retain players, and they've kind of invested that way. So we'll see if it holds true this offseason, because it's going to be the toughest challenge they've had since it's all started.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, but let's get through this season. Let's see if they can make a bowl game. All right, let's talk about KU last night. Let's make the transition to KU hoops taking on Green Bay. I'm telling you, like, I know Darren Peterson looks great, and I know everybody's excited about Darren Peterson. I'm very excited about Darren Peterson. He does appear to be that kind of player, which will be, you know, it's to have. And I didn't see what did the kid from BYU do last night? Did you see? Because he played last night. I'll take a look as we're talking about Peterson. But to go into a year and have what most consider will be the best player in the country is always exciting, right? Like, that's always a fun thing to have. But to have it, like, this does feel a little different, because they've had that before. They've had that, you know, in some regards, people have thought that way of Hunter Dickinson. People have thought that way of Frank Mason. Like, they've had a lot of those guys over the years, but this one does feel a little bit different. DeBanza was last night too, 21.6 rebounds, almost a mirror image of what Peterson did. So he was also really good. So maybe I haven't seen him play yet, like I've seen Peterson play, but it just, like, it's going to be a vibe this year to walk in with the kid, the Cooper flag that is constantly being talked about as the best player. And that's going to create a different buzz for the school. Like, it's going to be fun. It's going to be different, honestly. They have been all complete opposite of that for, what, 3 years now, where it's been experienced. They have this, and it's kind of been the same thing over and over. This is going to be totally different this year.
This feels, I don't know. What does this go back to? Is this Frank Mason the last player that was like this?
No, I think it's different. I think Frank was such a known commodity. And
that's what I'm saying. I think that.
And I honestly, I don't even remember if, like, in game one, we were all looking at it saying, oh, Frank's going to be that dude. Frank wasn't an NBA guy. He wasn't like, it's been, I don't know. It's probably been since before I've been here. I mean, it's probably Wiggins. I would guess that's who it would be. That's not typically how Bill Self's done it. And, you know, we also don't have that player every year in college basketball, right? We had Cooper Flagg last year. He was that guy. Zion Williamson was that guy. But we don't walk into every college basketball season with that kind of freshman who you expect to just fully be a star. And we might have two of them this year, both playing in the Big 12.
Yeah.
So it's hard to compare it to anything that I've seen, because since I've been here, it's been more of guys grow into that role, whether it was Devontae Graham or whether it was Frank Mason, whoever you want to look at. They grew into that over time. Peterson walks in from day one and has that expectation right on him as a freshman. Playing in the Big 12, it's going to be hard. There are going to be times this year where it's hard for him.
Yeah, I'm sure there will be. The biggest thing that, you know, I think that the buzz that you talked about is completely right, and I think that that is awesome for KU basketball to have, to have somebody that can walk in the gym and know that's the guy that's going to put 20 points up tonight. But I think it's just such a stark difference from what we've seen the past 2 years. And there's no disrespect to those other two teams. They were really good at what they did, and they won a lot of really big games. They were the number one team in the country preseason for a reason. But this year, just with all the new faces and everything being different, it's going to look different on the court, and it's going to look fast on the court, and they're going to put up points on the court. I think that KU is probably going to be a lot more, you know, offensive leaning than they have been in years past. And I don't think that's a knock on their defense. I think that they're just going to score a lot of points because they're so athletic this year. And that's in main part, back to your main point here, is because Fori Badunga is the center and is one of the fastest players on the team.
And I think he's the takeaway for me, because, and that's like, Peterson's going to have this expectation. Peterson's great. Peterson's going to be great. Peterson is going to be a star. He's going to have nights where he struggles, I'm sure. Maybe he doesn't, but I would imagine that's going to come in some Big 12 games. Badunga, to me, raises the ceiling of this team pretty substantially. And it's so funny, too, because Peterson's coming in and because it has felt like such a reset for this team, I think that we haven't thought about how big a deal it was that KU won sort of this re-recruitment of Badunga, because that was all off season. We knew Peterson was coming, right? The main key, the main goal, the main priority was like, how do they get Badunga to stay? And I remember through that whole process, I'm like, man, I think he's going to stay. Like, what? Like, there's such a history for him to go be the best version of him with this role right now. The history of Bill Self with bigs, the opportunity to play alongside a guy like Peterson. Remember what that's looked like for Self. Remember when Devon Dotson, it was Dot and Doak. I mean, remember some of those combinations of a great guard to a great big, right? They didn't have that the last few years because, you know, DeJuan Harris was great, but he's not that kind of offensive player. Those two, if they can work together like that, I know they're a little younger, but those have been to me like those are the best Bill Self teams when they've got a great point guard and a great big and the offense runs through those guys. And then the rest of the team, you better defend and you better be able to hit open threes. And I think we've got through one game and maybe even some roster construction, the pieces of some of that. They did not shoot good enough from three, I don't think, last night. Not good enough to make us feel good. Two of the starters, White and Rosario, combined to go 2 for 9. That's not going to be good enough. They need those other guys to hit threes, and they need those other guys to play great defense. But if they can get the offense out of the two young fellas, it's going to raise the floor up a little bit, I think. Well, may not raise the floor, actually. The floor may be in danger, but it'll raise the ceiling up quite a bit.
Yeah, that's the thing that KU has been, you know, struggling with the last 2 years is not having that shooting presence. It's what everybody in the country struggled with, honestly. Everybody's always looking for a shooter out of the portal. And KU got Nick Timberlake, and they're like, oh, yeah, this guy's going to be it.
I mean, they've tried.
He didn't shoot it well. And, you know, Zeke Mayo shot it pretty well, but he's not that kind of player to just spot up and shoot threes all the time. So you think that Cole Rosario is going to be the guy on this team that can do that kind of thing. Jaden Dawson off the bench is going to be the kind of guy that can do this kind of thing as well. Just a matter of and honestly, it's November 3rd, so give him some time. But I agree. What we saw last night it's not going to completely cut it in Big 12 play.
Remind me about Cole Rosario. Like what are we expecting out of Cole Rosario? Like what is
I think that we're getting more than him. I think that we're getting more than what we did expect. He was a reclass, so he should have been a freshman next year. He was a last minute classed up to graduate early to come play on this team. He was one of the overtime elite guys. So he played with the Bryson Tiller and the Samus Calderon and the Tay Kenny that's coming next year. And so Bill Self's recruited that super heavy. He reclassified to come in and play this year. And he was basically just supposed to be like a 3-and-D guy, just super athletic, can shoot threes, and that's what his role was going to be. And then it kind of got dropped on us at Big 12 Media Days last week of Bill Self saying, like, you know, Shreyas, he'll tell you this too. He asked him, he's like, what kind of role could he play? Do you think that he'll play a lot with these starters? And Bill was like, he's going to start. Like, what are you talking about? He's going to be a starter. And we're like, oh, Cole Rosario is going to be a starter. Cool.
And we didn't see a lot out of Jamari McDowell. El Marco didn't play hardly. That was interesting to see those two guys play so little. I thought, I don't know what to make of that. Cause those are two guys that, you know, thought maybe could step up just a little bit. Rosario. Yeah. I'm looking back now at his high school resume and it makes sense then that why he has been the player that, and I was talking about this last night, when I was watching the game and it was like, who is that guy? And I'm like, well, that's gotta be Rosario. Well, what, and everyone's like, huh, what do we know about him? And I'm like, I don't know. He snuck up on everybody. Trey White. Yeah, it was something, that stash. Trey White, the fact that Trey White's a starter, I think, is also interesting. I'm going to guess he's a great defender. But as we go back and we look at what he's done over his career, he hasn't been a great 3-point shooter. He's been a 10 point a game ish kind of player at three different places. So I'm going to guess he can defend at a high level. He is one of the starters from last night. We knew a little bit more about Melvin Council than these other guys probably, but it is going to be all about these freshmen. Council has been a good scorer. but not necessarily, right, a great three-point shooter. At St. Bonaventure, he shot just under 30%. At Wagner, he was even under that, 26. He's able to score, but again, it's not from three. So you better hope that he can defend, and that takes it back. Like, if you're going to run the offense through Peterson and through Badunga, you're also going to ask another young guy, really young guy in Rosario, to make a bunch of threes. And if we're thinking about the things that would, I guess, be potential concerns this year, to me, for a team that struggled to shoot it from three, I don't think I see something that's like, this is going to be a great 3-point shooting team this year. Maybe I'm wrong about that. I follow the off season.
I understand what you're saying. But the thing is, though, if you want a guy that's going to shoot 3-pointers, it's Darren Peterson. And that's what his game is, and he does everything as well. So
right, but they need an open.
They do
maker.
I don't know. Yeah, that's supposed to be Rosario. That's the idea there.
Okay. Well, he shot it that well in high school. It's a little different. The good news is, with a guy like Peterson and now Badunga, that's going to create open looks for these guys. More open looks than shooters have had at KU the last couple of years when they haven't been able to make any shots. So, you know, those are there, and it's hard not to be excited about the oozing talent of your two best players. They are young players. For a guy like Badunga, I would tell you that the biggest challenge, I think, for him right now is going to be staying on the court as a young athletic big like that, because you better believe that when they get into the Big 12, teams are going to attack him, foul, try to get him to foul and be in foul trouble, because they'll be a different team without him on the floor.
I mean, he struggled with that last year as a true freshman. That was why
everybody done.
That's why he couldn't play as much as everybody wanted him to play. And that's why he had to come off the bench. And it's because he's a, 18-year-old kid. And if somebody's coming into his paint, he wants to run him off the court. You can't do that. And so I think that there'll be a little bit of maturity in that you hope to see from him, of a guy that can play 40 minutes. Say what you will of Hunter Dickinson, he can play 40 minutes. Like, he was 40.
He was savvy. He could at times play them slowly, but he could play him. And he knew, because he's been there forever. And that's something Badunga is going to have to learn. How do I stay on? Because when he's off the court, now we don't know this yet, I don't know what they're going to do behind him. I mean, I think that's one of the big questions for them this year. But KU, big winners last night. They're going to be a very fun team to watch this year. We're going to talk some Shocker basketball as they get things ready to go tonight. Another team with a lot of questions. All these teams have a lot of questions. It's funny, Kate, do we know the most about K-State just simply because we know the most about Haggerty? Like, is it all three of these teams? Like, we're going to need like a good...
That's what I said yesterday. Months? I did a morning show hit at the TV station last night, and I said, if you're wondering who the starting five is at home and you say, I don't know anything about basketball, your guess is as good as ours.
Welcome to the party, and I don't even feel bad about it. Like, it is so hard to keep up with it, but I'm excited that we do get to watch them. All right, we're coming back. We got another hour of Sports Daily. We'll get you ready for the Shockers opener tonight. We'll talk about the NFL trade deadline as well. Stick around. And we are glad to be with you here for another hour on Sports Daily. It's Jake Balbrock. It's TJ Cleland. Max Power has the KFH hotline for you at 869-1240. You can leave us your commentary on the video streams at Facebook, YouTube, X. Thanks for watching us on 12 News Connected. You can reach out to us directly on social media, all kinds of different ways to get in touch with the program. We're going to talk NFL trade deadline this hour. We are going to talk the start of Shocker basketball this hour. We can revisit Monday Night Football a little bit this hour as well. It's all coming to you. It's all What's on Tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, now featuring the Cooperstown Pizza with a sriracha cream cheese base, topped with chicken, bacon, mushrooms, and mozzarella. The Cooperstown, now available in a lunch or full size at Wichita Brewing Company. Pizza and beer made here. All right, we come back in here, TJ, and let's get folks ready for Shocker basketball. You'll hear the game, as always, over on KYN tonight. Wichita State comes into this season. Would they get picked fifth? Is that right? Fifth in the preseason AAC poll, I believe. Which
sixth, maybe. Yeah.
Is that good enough? Is a fifth place finish? Because to me, it's not.
I mean, they haven't done that yet in a long time. They have, but not in a while.
What I don't want to do is change the expectation because it's not been a good couple of years because the roster's changed, right? Like, it's not like there's something carrying over to base anything off of, and it's changed for the whole league. Basically, last year was the better roster retention than any team in the league and all of that stuff. And it didn't lead to good enough results. So I don't want to accept fifth place in the American as good enough. I don't like, I'm ready for this team to compete for AAC titles. It's not been a very good league in the last few years.
I mean, frankly, I think that Paul Mills feels the same way. As I was telling you last week, whenever we talked to him at the Shocker Media Day, I mean, he said that the first week of basketball season is great because you get the chance to go out and prove people wrong. And, you know, he wasn't speaking in coach speak about like, well, we just want to take things one step at a time. I mean, he made it seem like we think that we're a good enough team to go win a championship despite having 11 new players, that feels like a lot of people think that you can't make that work. And Paul Mills thinks that they can make it work. And so I think that he's in the same boat. I think that he would agree that a fifth place finish, he's not going to be banging his chest about by any means. He wants to play in the NCAA tournament, and in the American Conference, you might have to, you know, win the conference. It might be a two bid, maybe two bid league. It's like a one and a half bid. We'll say that. And so you got to take care of your work. And so I think that he's high on this team. I agree. I think that this team is, you know, it's different. It can go one or two ways. I'm pretty bullish about the guys that they have, though, and I think a lot of people are.
I am too, and that's why I don't want to accept a fifth place prediction. Like, that's not good enough. I don't want to sit here this year and be like, oh, well, you know, they finished fourth, they finished fifth. That's kind of no.
I agree. It all depends. And honestly, this is a conversation that we're going to be having in December because it's the fact of, you know, what can you do to start conference play? And that's what it's always been. We've seen him, you know, Paul Mills, his first year here, rattled off like seven straight wins to open the season. They beat Minnesota.
That's been most years, by the way.
I know. And then it trickles off whenever it gets to conference play. And that's the thing that they have to figure out. And so tonight, you need to take care of business. You don't want a situation where you lose to UMKC like they did a year ago. But I don't know. We're going to learn a lot. Like I said before the break, is that, you know, we don't know what the starting five is going to be. We have guesses of what it's going to be, but nobody really knows. And nobody knows what these guys look like together because they've never played together.
Through the first 10 games of the last 2 years, the Shockers have started 18-2, I believe. So, yeah.
One of them was the team that won the national championship in Florida.
Right. That was the only loss to the first 10 games last year. And they start, you know, even 2023-24, I think, was even an even better start. And they ended that year below 500. And so we saw improvement last year, right? They finished four games above 500. But the that would be like, you know, in normal circumstances, you could look at that and say, okay, that's progress. And I could agree with that. The problem is the roster is totally different. So it's not like there's nothing there to like build on from a roster standpoint. So, but, and again, this isn't unique to Wichita State. This is most of college basketball. So it's like, okay, well, how do you then set an expectation? We probably won't have a realistic expectation, I don't think, TJ, for this team. You said December. December is when they, you know, they'll play Mount Marty. I've never heard of.
That's like a Division III school.
Northern Iowa, DePaul, Wofford, Eastern Kentucky, and then they start on the last day of December, they start conference play. So I think this year's going to be just a little bit different. I don't think this non-con is as strong as it has been in past years. You hope Loyola presents a challenge. Boise State got beat by a D2 school, I believe, last night. So who knows about that? That's going to be a true road game, though. It doesn't count against Boise State. So, you know, whatever. But we're hoping Boise State's good. It's another true road game at Northern Iowa. I like the true road games. I mean, is DePaul going to be good? I guess we'll see. Like the battle for Atlantis will provide good opponents. St. Mary's, we know, will be one of them. Colorado State's been good in recent years. They should get some good games out of the battle for Atlantis. So I won't say December. I'll say we'll learn a lot about this team on that holiday tournament. That's when we're really going to be able to tell something about the team. And that's hoping that they take care of business through the first, you know, four or five games up to that point. But it's not going to be like, oh, look, they beat XYZ. It's really going to be more about, look at the way that they're playing. I think that we can all, I mean, and it's just going to be difficult to know anything before conference play about expectations.
Yeah. By the way, friend of the show, Jackson Schneider, just said that Mount Marty is an NAIA in Yankton, South Dakota. So my apologies to Mount Marty.
That's right. I don't know anything about Mount Marty.
This thing, I'm excited. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. They're 7.5-point favorites tonight. So it's single digit line against UNC Asheville. UNC Asheville, number 219 in KenPom. Wichita State is 129.
7.5-point line in Wichita?
I didn't think it was going to be that low. That seems like a really low line.
We might have our first college basketball bet on our hands. I did sprinkle a little bit of silly money on like a couple bucks for a I think I took Arizona and BYU to cover. I don't even remember if BYU covered, but I took Green Bay plus 30.5. I was like, you know what? Couple freshmen kind of feels like a KU thing to like they can win by 29 and we're going to feel about it. And they just annihilated them, which is probably a good sign.
But anyways, whenever people ask me about the Shockers, the thing that I tell them is that I think, and I feel like a broken record because I think that them, K-State and KU are all kind of in the same boat. Granted, Wichita State doesn't have the number one freshman in the country on their team, but they're in the same boat in the fact of like those three schools, not K-State, but they're all three going to be led by one guy that's going to score a lot of points, and there's going to be a lot of athletic guys around them that are going to follow suit. And so I think Wichita State, you've got Kenyon Giles, and he's going to score a lot of points. And I think that for the first time since I've covered the Shockers, they've got shooters surrounding him, I feel like. Mike Gray is a shooter. They've got, Dre Kendall that's going to get downhill, kick back out to Kenyon Giles, who's a shooter. They've got a 7-footer inside and Will Berg, who's a pretty athletic 7-footer. He's not not as athletic as what Quincy Ballard was, but he's going to be able to move around down there as well. And so I think that it's not going to be the Isaac Brown grind you down and win it 50-45. I think they're actually going to put points on the board quick. And Paul Mills I bring it up every year to Paul Mills is that whenever he first got here about what's the identity that your team's going to have? And he said, I don't know. It depends on who's on my team. And so I asked him, I said, who's on your team this year? And he's like, well, we got shooters. We're going to shoot it.
I think you're right about Giles, but I would just caution you. We know Haggerty, like we've seen Haggerty do it in this league. So we know that's how it's going to work. We've also seen the way that Tang coaches those guys. We know Peterson. So he better score. We all thought Justin Hill was going to lead this team offensively last year too, at this point. And then through the first few games, it was like, all right, this is their guy. This is their offensive guy. And then he fell off the face of the earth over the course of things. So I don't know if it's as sure a thing that it's going to be X, Y, or Z for the Shockers. I think that it's going to take a minute to catch their identity.
I think the biggest difference between Justin Hill, and I agree, Justin Hill was awesome that first game, and then I think he had his ankle thing, and it kind of just sputtered off after that. But, the biggest difference is that Justin Hill was a guy who did play at Longwood and did well there and then went to Georgia and was a role player. And then, it was kind of like, all right, this is yours. Like, go for it. And Kenyon Giles is moving upward. You know, he came from UNC Greensboro, who plays K-State tonight, by the way. You can listen on KFH. Throw that in there. I mean, he did it there. I mean, he averaged a ton of points there. He was the first teamer there. And so you've seen him do it. And it's just a matter of if he can do it in the American Conference.
I cannot wait for it. It is going to be we are here. We are here with all the unknowns in the world. UNC Asheville tonight. It is a 6:30 tip time. We'll be back tomorrow to talk all about it. All right, when we come back, big day, big news item for the Chiefs, and it's trade deadline. We'll get into all of it next.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores, or DSW.com.
Dude, you gotta hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with the juicy Week 9 matchup between the Chiefs and the... well, that was the Bills. That was last week. Apologies, everybody. don't tune in for that. Just tune in for Paramount Plus. Sorry. So here's a little inside baseball. Paramount Plus, you know, do it to it. You can't count on much, but you can count on them.
can't count on Chiefs Bills this week, though.
You cannot count on Chiefs Bills this week. But you can always count on the NFL and Paramount Plus. So make sure that you are, make sure that you're tuning in to Paramount Plus this weekend. KWCH, of course, the local CBS affiliate. You can visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. So a little inside baseball. Jad Chambers, who puts together the
compilation of the variety of reads and things that we have. And he does such a great job. It's, you know, the contribution he still makes to the show. He has been out of town. So he tried to put together like a 9-day list for me. And I went back to that on Paramount Plus because that we've got all these different great, you know, people that support the program and everything. And that's one of them we've got to get in. And that was still the one I read the wrong one from a week ago. So that's how that happens. Welcome back in here. Let's talk NFL. The Chiefs are in an interesting spot, TJ. They get the great news yesterday, and we can start there. Josh Simmons is back. The biggest concern, I would say, for the team big picture isn't even the four losses at this point. It is the offensive line, which had looked so good for a lot of the year, the last couple of weeks has shown some chinks in the armor a little bit. And if it's not good, this thing doesn't work. And I do think the return of Josh Simmons in a bye week can solve it. I think they could absolutely come back in week 11 and be a great offensive line again. I do think that's possible. And they'll be tested by Denver. Denver's great defense. But it is the thing that can be the most problematic of everything going on with that organization. It is the elephant in the room. Let's hope Simmons gets it back to where we thought it would be. I don't think there's a need to go at anybody. It's really hard to trade for offensive linemen. I think Simmons gives you back the depth that you think you had before. But we have seen Juwan Taylor limping around a little bit. We've seen Trey Smith limping around a little bit. We've now seen Kingsley Suamataia limping around a little bit. The only guy that stayed completely healthy in that last game was Creed Humphrey. So is Simmons' return enough to alleviate some of those fears? I think so, but man, it feels like thin ice.
I know. It's a lot to put on because Jalen Moore's been good up until this last game, and I think that he got exposed a little bit, and I think a little bit of that was, you know, trying to block Bosa, block one of the Bosa brothers coming around, and so that makes everybody look kind of bad for the most part. So I don't know how much better Josh Simmons can be than what Jalen Moore had been. Like, he'd been good, and there wasn't really much of a drop-off at all. Josh Simmons, though, you know, in the same breath, was great whenever he was playing, and so it might be something that it'll be night and day. It'll be great. But I agree with your trade deadline sentiment as well. The only thing that I could think of, I saw the Commanders, I don't know, I think it was Jordan Schultz, Bleacher Report was floating out, that the Commanders were looking at moving Andrew Wiley and Nick Allegretti, who are two former Chiefs. And we know what Veach likes to do of bringing back guys back home. And so I don't know if it's at the point where they need to do that. Like, I think that getting Simmons back alleviates that pressure because you get Jalen Moore to move him around. You've still got Caliendo. So I don't know what those guys would really bring to the table. I don't think that you really need to make a move on the offensive line. I think that everybody's a little banged up, but you have depth pieces to get you through for the time being.
Those two names for the Commanders are interesting. You could definitely do that. Neither one of those guys would cost you anything. It might cost you a seventh, but that's pretty interesting to hear those two names floated out there. We'll keep an eye on that. So then it takes you to the other two areas of need, or at least perceived areas of need for this team, which would be running back and defensive line. I absolutely could rubber stamp and get on board with a trade for a defensive lineman. They have got to generate more pass rush with their front four.
How do you whenever you say this, where does your new defensive lineman slide in?
Probably in a rotation. I would say a defensive end most likely. But it could be anywhere on there to just provide some juice to rotate in. I mean, the Chiefs right now have 20 sacks on the year. They have, you know, most of the teams that they are ahead of in the sack department have had bye weeks already. So they're going to go further down the list after, you know, after this week. But they're just not, to me, that's an area they can be better. That's an area they can definitely get better. So it's also an area where there's going to be a lot of names out there that they can probably bring in for depth. To your point and the reason you asked that question, I don't know that they're going to bring in a starting defensive end.
That's the thing, yeah.
You know, like you've got if you're running, you've got is Pinnell starting now? Did he start?
I don't know if he's starting, but he played.
Yeah, he played quite a bit. Every time I looked up, I kind of thought I saw him. But you're probably getting somebody who can just run in there and rush the passer occasionally. It's just not a position of strength. So can you get better?
Yeah.
You're obviously not replacing, you know, Jones or Karloftis. I think everybody else is rotational, though.
I know. That's the thing is that, you know, Rick brought up as well is that they did this last year. They brought in Josh Uche, and then Josh Uche didn't play. And it's basically the same front four that they had. So it's a matter of where are these guys going to fit in?
What doesn't mean you don't try, though. I mean, if you've got an area of need, like, and that brings up the running back question. If you brought in a running back, where are they going to play?
Oh, they're going to play more than a defensive lineman's going to play.
You think if Isaiah Pacheco doesn't miss significant time, you think so?
I mean.
What, are they going to trade for Breece Hall and we never hear from Isaiah Pacheco and Kareem Hunt again?
Well, you probably wouldn't hear from – I bet if they traded for Breece Hall, it would be Breece Hall's back one. Pacheco is going to get 10 carries a game.
No, he's not. Not if they trade for Breece Hall. You shouldn't have traded for Breece Hall.
7 carries a game. And Kareem Hunt is going to be the guy that they bring in and be the vulture at the goal line like Clyde Edwards-Helaire was a couple of years ago.
Okay, so you're saying 7 carries for Pacheco and what, 4 for Kareem Hunt then? That's 11 carries. So you're going to trade a third and pay Breece Hall all that money to come in and carry the ball 11 times a game.
And have 5 catches.
That's what I'm saying. That's why that's not going to happen.
I mean, if it came down to it and they like moved on from one of the two, like I'd be fine with it.
You would have to trade one of them back or somebody's going to get cut. Yeah. Like that's what I'm saying. Like that just to me seems so unlikely. It would take a player the caliber of Breece Hall to do that. But and the reason I asked that question that way, they don't have enough carries unless you envision getting rid of Isaiah Pacheco.
I don't think they're going to sign Pacheco, and this is his year, isn't it?
But Pacheco will sign for next to nothing. Comparatively, he's not going to command a big contract because nobody's going to give him one.
Is it worth moving forward with Isaiah Pacheco?
I mean, the question becomes, would you rather have Breece Hall for $15 million a year or Isaiah Pacheco for $2 million
a year? No, I mean,
I'm not saying, again, like it's hard because I love Breece Hall as much as any young runner in football. I hate that he's been hamstrung by the Jets organization. He is a star. He is very good. I just don't know if the Chiefs, the way they're designed right now, the way they've already been spending their resources, are ready to be that kind of team. They have a ton. Think about, like, you've used first, second, and third round picks on receivers each of the last, 4 years? Like, they are trying to be an offense that throws the ball a ton. That's what they're doing. That's what they've been investing in. They've been investing at tackle to give better protection for Mahomes. Like, everything they're doing has been designed on a big-time passing game, not a running game. Now, you could say, and this is a good argument against that, that they've also invested in Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey, and they have. But I just don't know why it would make sense to just make that pivot all of a sudden, because this year especially, there's just not enough action for somebody to come in and carry the ball 18 times a game. That's not the way they want to play offense, I don't think. Now, if the offensive line's going to continue to struggle, we're having a different conversation. And maybe, you know, at that point, you can become a little more of what they were last year. They ran the ball last year more than they have ever, you know, on a per game basis by the end of the year.
Give me an NFL team that throws the ball a lot and has an elite running back. 49ers can throw the ball a lot?
No. I mean, I would have to go.
I'm trying to rack my brain here.
Well, passing yards overall, you could say the Cowboys. Javonte Williams has been close to that. Indianapolis is second in the league in passing. And, of course, they have Jonathan Taylor. Yes, the 49ers are up there. You've got the Rams. You could make that case for with Kyron Williams, probably. The Packers are up there in passing yards with Josh Jacobs. The Chiefs are obviously up there too. And look, the Chiefs are top half of the NFL in rushing right now. Yeah. Now, a lot of that comes from Mahomes. We know that this year. You know, it's not all the running backs. But I just – if they're going to – the bigger need to me is pass rush than it is the running game. The only caveat to all of it is we don't know about the health of Isaiah Pacheco, or at least I don't. I don't know how much I trust his health. That's the one thing that scares me.
I don't know if I trust Isaiah Pacheco whenever he was healthy this year. Like, he's just such a different player.
I mean, I've said it, TJ, for years. Isaiah Pacheco's biggest downfall is he's not going to be able to stay healthy. He runs too violently. That doesn't work in the NFL. So, you know, even Derrick Henry doesn't invite as much contact as Isaiah Pacheco. And Derrick Henry's a monster. So he invites contact. He's going to invite injuries. And that's going to continue to happen. So I'm not going to sit here disappointed if they make a big-time trade for a running back. Because if Isaiah Pacheco's going to miss significant time, I absolutely don't trust a backfield led by Kareem Hunt at this stage of his career.
I agree. It's
all on, like, what are the medicals saying on Pacheco? They brought back Clyde Edwards-Helaire. They may be comfortable with that. Who knows? But again, like, they're going to throw the ball primarily. So it's probably okay if they do nothing. They can also find running backs to try.
I mean, I don't know. That's the thing, though. They're not going to find a running back that's going to be better than Kareem Hunt. And it's like, do you trust Kareem Hunt to lead you in the playoffs?
Yeah, it's going to be Hunt, and you need depth is what you'd be doing at that point.
Which is what they did last year for the entire year, and it kind of worked. But
Kareem Hunt ran the ball fine against Buffalo. He just didn't have any juice. But he was effective in that game. They probably should have run it a little more, to be perfectly honest with you. But that's not what they want to do. They have Rice. They have Hollywood Brown. They have Worthy. They have Kelsey. They have Juju. They have Thornton. They have all of the – they have Noah Gray. Like, they have all these guys. And they can do a short passing attack. They haven't had to do that as much this year because their line's been good. It was not good against Buffalo. All of this timing is interesting, and now going into a bye and all the injuries, like, I envision them standing pat. I don't think they're going to make a move of significance. But if they do, I think pass rush is a bigger need. I think pass rush has a bigger impact on this team, unless it's a guy like Breece Hall, and they're going to have to redesign their offense, you know, during the bye week. Like, we're going to have to redesign some things if that's the direction they wanted to go. And I don't know. I mean, how much is that even being rumored? Is it just like people because they know he's got connections to the area and he's a great player and the Jets suck? Is that why that's happening? Or is that
the insiders have been floating around that the Chiefs have been shopping for running backs for weeks.
Okay. Well, maybe somebody's out there. Maybe
he's
somebody's
the number
out there.
One running back because everybody knows the Jets stink.
Well, yeah, the Jets suck, and Breece Hall's awesome. Breece Hall would be a great fit. Andy Reid could do a lot of cool things with Breece Hall. But it's going to cost you. He's going to cost you draft capital, and he's going to cost you money. And if you think you're good enough this year and you wanted to take a swing at Breece Hall, you can do it in the offseason without wasting the draft capital. So that's the timing is better because you don't have Kelsey at that point. You probably don't have Hollywood Brown at that point. You're going down further on the list and running. And if you don't look, if you want to, maybe they're forward thinking. I think they're probably looking at this year as Super Bowl or bust, but maybe they're forward thinking enough to say, let's get him in and let's get him locked up because we are going to have to run the ball a little bit more next year.
I think so. And I think that the Kelsey point's great as well, is that there's going to be more space on the books. They're not going to have Juwan Taylor on the books next year. They'll probably restructure Mahomes' contract again somehow. They don't have Travis Kelsey on the books next year, I don't think. And so that clears up the space. Like, it's not like it's going to be a gridlock of where this money is going to come from for Breece Hall. If they want him, they can have him. And I think that they haven't had a running back like him in a long time.
What are they going to do? What are they going to do? The trade deadline is today.
3 o'clock?
Yeah, these deadlines are more... There was a time not that long ago where the NFL trade deadline was literally worthless. Like, nothing ever happened. And that's not the case anymore. Like, you get some significant things happening. I heard on the Westwood One broadcast, I was driving home listening last night, and Mike Golic in the pregame brought up TJ Hawkinson. was a deadline guy. There have been some big ones that have really shaken it up, and I think it's exciting for football. I'm glad they're doing it. I'm glad players are moving. It makes a lot of sense. Why wouldn't you do it? You know, especially in a
sport where and speaking of running backs, the amount that running backs just kind of fizzle off in their career because people don't like to sign running backs.
Major League Baseball trade deadline is, you know, it's one of our favorite things, right? Every year. The NFL trade deadline's not quite that, but it's getting there a little bit. Is this Max's commentary here? Max off the top ropes at $43 million over the cap next year, only Goodell allowing them. Is Max coming with a conspiracy theory with no time for us to react? Is that what I'm reading, Max? Are you there? $43 million over the cap next year, only Goodell allowing them to once again skirt the cap. They can do anything. I think that's a conspiracy theory shot at the Chiefs from Max.
$43 million over the cap is not a conspiracy.
Well, what is your point?
$43 million over the cap, you can't sign anything.
Well, the cap's going to go up.
It's not going to go up $43 million, buddy.
Well, I understand. You're saying that's what they have on the books right now for 26?
They're $60 million over. Effective cap space, they're $43 million over.
Okay. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, that's not going to – they're going to lose Juwan Taylor. He'll be gone. That's going to take that cap number down $27 million. Mahomes will restructure again. They'll make room if they need to make room. We have Shocker basketball. Who's ready? KYN tonight. Coverage begins at 6. K-State basketball tonight at 6. Coverage begins right here on KFH. We got a doubleheader of men's hoops. So excited for it. We'll be live there. Rachel Hallam will have reports from the Shocker game tonight. So tune in to 12 News this evening for all that fun and excitement. The fanfare. Hope it's a huge crowd there. Hope everybody's fired up. That'll be interesting. It always is interesting. We love to talk about crowds and look at crowds and do those things, TJ. And that's because we love seeing Coke Arena packed. It has been. We saw it at the TBT. We saw walk-up crowds. Not fill it up, but I mean, get pretty darn close.
It's true. Yep.
It looked really good.
Yep, it's true. I'll be in attendance as a fan tonight, not as a reporter. So I got the Shocker gear ready to do my part. You doing maybe, your part.
Maybe rip a couple Wooshock wheats, speaking maybe. Of Wichita Brewing Company. Always good at the Shocker game. So, yeah, I'm excited to see it and get a full report tomorrow on what you saw. I will – I've got fifth grade basketball practice today.
That's just as good.
Yeah. So, I still coaching the bolts and we've got some things to work on. So I'll lean into you. I think I'll be able to watch and /listen to probably the first half.
Hey, I'm just excited. Yesterday I had no ESPN and no ESPN Plus. So I couldn't watch KU. Couldn't watch Monday Night Football. So we're going to do it like the olden days and drive to the arena and watch the basketball game.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? Speaking of Monday Night Football, I was able to watch. It was whatever. It was a good money-making game. If you did that, all the stars kind of performed. Hopefully everybody with their same game parlays got it done. All the stars kind of hit their numbers and their props and those kinds of things. It was predictable. I think that Marvin Harrison Jr. had a bit of a coming out party in that game, and the Cowboys defense is just not very good. They played better in the second half, but their offense kind of let them down a little bit yesterday. That was a pretty big win for Arizona. Arizona's in that division, TJ, where it's like, what are they supposed to do? Everybody in the division has 6 wins. The Cardinals are sitting there. Jacoby Brissett looks better than Kyler Murray. They've got some talent. They've got a pretty good team. They're starting to find their groove through some of the injuries that they've had, you know, and so now they're kind of relevant again. The Cowboys are not. The big trade that, you know, that Jerry Jones was teasing all day yesterday was for a linebacker from the Bengals. Listen, I had a buddy that was very anti the Micah Parsons trade because he doesn't trust him in the draft. And you know, the two picks aren't going to mean anything. Here's the reality for the Cowboys. That's their only option. What would the Cowboys' record be if Micah Parsons played for this team this year?
Not that much better.
It wouldn't be any better. It would be the exact same. They would be 3-5-1 if Micah Parsons. I can promise you that his maybe in a best case scenario one sack a game, like his sack last night, doesn't alter the game. Like, he is awesome, and he's having a great year in Green Bay, and he has 6.5 sacks already. But he's got to be a part of a unit, right, to make that true impact. And their defense is so bad, like everywhere, that it wouldn't have mattered. And the amount of money they would have had to pay him wouldn't have mattered. Their only chance, and it's a small chance, that they could maybe do something would be next year. Okay. Next year, if they hit their draft picks and they make a good decision or two in free agency. Because this offense and they didn't perform totally up to the standard last night, and they had some fumbles and some mistakes that really cost them. But this offense is good enough. This offense is great. Dak Prescott has played at an elite level. They're good enough. But it's as bad and like just meh a defense as I can remember ever seeing. And they're going to have to fix it. And they have one offseason to do it. And that's it. That's their only chance. And it's such a small chance. It's already a small chance. But it wasn't going to be with Micah Parsons. Logan Wilson is the guy coming over for a 7th-round pick. That's the one. That's the blockbuster Jerry Jones has been talking about. He's a tackle machine. I mean, he's had 100 tackles a year for like 3 or 4 straight years. But I mean, I don't know. Like, what is? I don't know what his contract is. Is he a long term guy? I don't know. He's a cap.
Let's go back to last night. Tell me what happened here. If the Cowboys' offense is so good, how come they turned it over 3 times?
Well, that was the problem. Is they turned it over 3 times. They moved the ball fine. Like, they were moving the ball, and just they had a couple. Arizona made a couple good plays, but it wasn't like the Cowboys' offense was not anemic or anything. They got sacked a crap load. Was really the problem. I was like 6 sacks, I think they gave up in the game. Like, that was what really killed them. It was a couple of turnovers and drive killing sacks. And the offensive line should be better than that. They've invested a lot in that through the draft the last couple of years. So hopefully that comes through. But that was the issue. Arizona made plays. Arizona, they came up with the big defensive plays when they needed them. But I'm not like the Cowboys offense is not a problem. Dak Prescott threw it for 250 yards. Their star receivers showed out. Their running game was effective. It was fine. They just kept shooting themselves in the foot by either turning the ball over or giving up sacks.
I like that the final 11 minutes of the game was punt, fumble, turnover on downs, interception, end of game.
Look at the last drive or two. I think Dak was sacked 3 times in maybe the final. I don't remember if it was the last drive, because at that point I was like, all right, I'm out. But it would have been one of the final drives.
3 sacks, a fumble, and an interception.
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad. So look, it's great. And I was watching the game last night, and I'm telling the people I'm with in my Cowboys Hawaiian, like, you know, you want to root, but it's like, I honestly, like, the best thing that could happen to this team, the best thing for their chances next year, is to lose as many games as they can and move up the draft board. And try to find an elite defensive playmaker, and then hope the Packers lose as many games as they can. I mean, that's it. That's the best case. The best case scenario for next year is not for the Cowboys to win 8 games. It's not. So I know Jerry Jones doesn't want to hear that, but you've made this bed, and the window is next year. Like, that's the window. You've got Lamb. I think they still have Pickens. You've got a good tight end. You've got a good running game. If Javonte would, like, you're set. You just got to solve a defense, and you have the draft capital to do it, and you've got a lot of money to do it with that you didn't spend on Micah Parsons. You better go get it right, because it's your only chance. Yep. You put a good and look, defenses do get better in a year. We've seen the Chiefs do it. I mean, the Chiefs have fixed a deep. They turned over a defense because of an incredible draft before. Like, it's happened. It's happened in recent years. The Rams did it last year. A great draft. The Eagles have shown us that it can be done moderately quickly. Now, they've done it in ways that I don't think Jerry Jones is capable of doing it, but it can be done. It can be done. And everybody can pile on the Cowboys because they deserve all of this. It was such a disaster of an offseason. Like, what a joke the offseason was. And this is the, you know, this is the bed they're sleeping in now. It can Arizona get back into the mix? I like a lot of their players.
Are they dead?
I don't know at 3-5. I mean, they're going to have to go.
They're going to have to basically, 8-2 the rest of the year to have a chance?
It would be 7-2, but probably. They've got all these divisions. They've only played two divisional games, San Francisco and Seattle. So here's the challenge for them, and I would tell you I don't think they're going to make it because they have to play the Rams twice, and they still have to play San Francisco and Seattle again. That's the majority of your games. Outside of that, your non-divisional games, Jacksonville at home, fine. I would take them in that game. At Tampa, no. At Houston, I don't know. Home against Atlanta,
I did not realize they've lost five straight either.
Yeah, it was. They started 2-0. Arizona was one of the teams I thought was going to be a surprise. I think I even put them in the playoffs, and they had that stretch, and it just has not. It's been and five, not only five games, TJ, it's five games by a combined 13 points. They lost five straight games by a combined 13 points. So they're going to be that team to watch if you're a better. Watch them. It's pretty interesting. I think they're an interesting team. They've got, like, McBride is a flipping monster. He is awesome. And Marvin Harrison Jr. is talented. He's looked, I think, better with Jacoby Brissett. Losing James Conner really hurt them, but they showed you last night they've got a defense that can get after it. It's hard to come up with that many sacks in a game, but it was impressive. Now we turn, we turn the page to the next week of football, a Chiefs-less week. And it gets going next with a thrilling Thursday night showdown between the Raiders and Broncos, where Chiefs fans, if you want to, if you want to just become Raiders fans for a minute,
Geno, do it.
Yeah, he can. He can. Look, they played Jacksonville tight. That was a game-winning 2-point conversion, I think it was. So they can give them a little bit of hell. We'll see what the Broncos can do without Sertan back there. That's a big loss. That's a defensive player of the year. Brock Bowers is back. Three touchdowns is all he did in his return to the Raiders. So yeah, look, I think what's that line? Let me look at that line. That line is 9.5. Ooh. Denver's favored by 9.5. Give me the Raiders. Give me the Raiders plus 9.5. I don't think they're going to win, but 9.5, yeah, I'll get in on a little of that. First touchdown. Brock Bowers written all over it, right? I don't know. He's not going to get very good odds. That probably is not going to be the pick. All right, we got college basketball tonight. Did we get everything in today? Did we get it all covered?
I think so.
Yeah, I think we did too. Our thanks to Wyatt Thompson. If you missed anything with Wyatt, you can go back and listen, of course, on the Odyssey app. His interview gets podcasted out there. And if you want to win some HTO, our last contest of the day, it's a text to win contest. You can enter by entering the keyword T to the short code 20357. It'll get you a free iced tea, more than 25 flavors to choose from at either the Wichita locations, east or west, or in Derby. You can enter this once a day. Message and data rates apply. Again, that is a free iced tea from HTO. Just text the keyword T to the short code 20357. We still have a little bit of time here on Sports Daily. We'll reset, tell you where you can listen to the basketball games tonight. I will need a full crowd report from TJ tomorrow. This is the thing we like to do, right? We want to know how many people were at Coke Arena.
I'll bring a clicker and I'll sit there and count.
That's right. Ooh, I don't want the Wichita State count. I don't want the inflated count. I want the real count. I want the real count. I know how these teams do it. You know, the tickets sold and all that. No, I want to know how many butts are in seats at Coke Arena tonight. All right, that does it for a Tuesday. It is going to be a brain overload now with the return of college basketball. especially when we consider that the return includes three teams on the men's side that we know very little about. Shout out to the Shocker women for their nice season opener. Tonight, it is to the Shocker and K-State men, both at home. You'll hear K-State basketball right here on KFH. Pregame coverage starts at 6 with Wyatt Thompson, and then with Mike Kennedy over on 103.7 KEYN. 6 o'clock coverage of the Shockers game begins as well. We will be back here to recap it all tomorrow. TJ, enjoy the game tonight.
I will. Can't wait. Kenyon Giles is going to score 30. Mark it.
30. Got it.
30.
Okay. I'll take that under in the opener. Because they're going to be so far ahead that lots of guys are going to play.
Oh,
that's the hope. We'll be back to talk tomorrow about it all. See you then.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.